is Jimmy Scroggins, and I'm the lead pastor of Family Church in South Florida. Welcome to the Church for the Rest of Us podcast. On our podcast, we're committed to giving you scalable ideas that you can use with the resources you have right now at your church. So welcome to Church for the Rest of Us. Hey, welcome back to Church for the Rest of Us. Jimmy Scroggins here with Leslie Bennett, and today we're talking about how to keep the vision and mission of our church aligned. In the past, we've talked in terms about the air war and the ground war, and you definitely need both to take ground for the kingdom of Jesus, but it is a challenge to keep your mission at the forefront, your vision at the forefront, and a lot of churches develop mission and vision, and they develop a statement, but they don't actually develop a statement that's useful or that actually reflects who they are and what they're trying to do. I think we've done better than that at Family Church by God's grace and a lot of great people.
I think so too. I think this is something that we all major on, keeping our vision and mission aligned. And I think you can see it when you come around us. So we're excited to unpack it today. Let's just introduce again who's with us in the room. So Derek.
Yep. Hey guys, Derek Simpson. I am one of our campus pastors. I am campus pastor for Family Church downtown. Also, give leadership to all of our ministry team areas. So that's like our kids ministry, our student ministry, how we think about leadership development, marriage ministry, and pastoral care, and how we bring people into our church and assimilate them into our membership processes.
Yep. I'm Todd Thomas. I lead our Sherbrooke campus of Family Church, as well as giving leadership to all of our campus pastors.
Yeah, Scott Crawford. My family and I attend our West Campus, and I get the opportunity to give leadership to a lot of our back office network resource leverage teams, so things like HR, finance, IT, legal, and then help give some leadership to our school.
All right, so here's a test. Who wants to say the Family Church vision for us today? Anyone?
Todd, we were just talking about this.
And building you said families you by helping them discover
the
and pursue.
That's
oh, the, taking the gospel the to every person in South Florida.
There you go. Yeah,
so I was,
we're good.
I was jumping ahead.
You were jumping ahead.
I got them both.
That was mission. All right. So vision, taking the gospel to every person in every neighborhood in South Florida. And mission, building families by helping them discover and pursue God's design. And Pastor Jimmy, you were part of a team that helped develop these. So you want to tell us how that went down?
Yeah, so we knew early on when I came in 2008, and our church had mission statements before and so forth, but like a lot of churches, they were good, cleverly designed statements with alliteration, but they were very broad, and I didn't feel like they really reflected where we were going in the future of Family Church. And so we actually met with a company called Oxano, and they're consulting. They'll still meet with you today if you want, but this is like 12 years ago or 13 years ago. And they met with us for several days and several sessions over several months. And we built this mission statement. Our mission is to build families by helping them discover and pursue God's design. And we really wanted family to be at the center and building families to be at the center of what we're doing. We think that's biblical. We think that reflects the structure of a church family anyway. But we also think it's an evangelistic hook, something that people are interested in and intrigued by when Christians can put healthy families on display. And then we included evangelism and discipleship by saying helping people discover, that's evangelism, and pursue, that's discipleship, God's design. That's where the truth of the Bible comes in. So we put all that together, and we're very happy. And that's been, in my mind, that mission statement has served us very, very well. And it is reflective of what we're trying to do for the Lord in our region.
Yeah, and from that, we have our three core values, which are teach the Bible, build families, and love our neighbors. And so pretty much everything we do wraps around our mission statement and our core values. And then the vision statement, we did add just after the Oxano people to our mix. So how often do we change our vision, our mission, our core values?
Not often.
At this point, we're sticking with them. So how do we keep them in the forefront of everything that we do? Pastor Todd, how do you do that?
I love this question. A mentor of mine used to say, what's down in the well comes up in the bucket. Mm. So our goal really is at every well
that
our
people right –
it is. You like that, don't you?
Yeah, I've never heard that before.
So every well that our people are drinking from, like our Bible studies, our first connection. So first Sunday of every month, we have an opportunity where people learn more about our church, our staff, our deacons, all kinds of people, leaders in our church are part of that. It is like front and center, a big part of our presentation and the conversations we have with every prospective member and visitor. We have a kids' new believers class, which is another great well where these kids are learning about Jesus, but they have to do it with their parents in the room with our kids' ministers. And in that well that those people are drinking from, it is vision and mission and what our church is trying to do in South Florida and how we're trying to strengthen and build these families. And so I just think the way that we're doing it is it's in all of those wells. So hopefully what's happening is it's going to come up in those buckets. In every area of our church, it's going to spill over because it's at the forefront of everything we're doing.
Yeah, from an operational standpoint, I mean, we paint it on the walls, we make signs out of it. So all of these things you will see proudly displayed throughout our campuses. That's part of the family resemblance we talk a lot about on the podcast. We're trying to create spaces where families feel welcome, right? So part of the way we build families is we create kids spaces that are safe, that they're something that kids want to be a part of and they enjoy coming to church. And the same thing for adults. So a lot of that is we're trying to figure out every way that we can to say it and say it again and then put it proudly on display with our facilities.
Yeah, that's good. Of course, communications, we think a lot about this. So a lot of the materials that we produce, to Todd's point, the First Connection materials, and we took everything in those materials and wrapped them around our core values. So we try to keep them front and center. When we do any kind of announcements, any kind of communicating, we're thinking through that lens. So basically, we filter everything that we say and do through our mission statement and through our core values so that it comes out in everything that we produce, really.
And we meet together weekly as a staff to pray. And in that, we actually have like opportunity for our team members to share stories about how they're taking the gospel to every person in every neighborhood in South Florida, or how they've seen a family start to discover and pursue God's design. And so even as a staff, weekly, when we come together for prayer, we're actually keeping it in front of our whole team, because those are the kinds of stories that we're sharing, and you get what you honor. Those are the things we're honoring. We're celebrating those things.
Yeah, I love that. I wrote Staff Chapel down. So how, you know, we talked on our last episode about sort of the nuts and bolts of how we run family church. We have some other meetings that we have that help keep vision and mission in front of everybody. One of those, I think, would be Staff Chapel, Pastor Todd, where we all get together every week and celebrate and share those things. But we do a couple other things. What, anything else come to mind?
Well, I think our preaching meeting for sure. You know, it's not a requirement that every single sermon specifically enumerates one of these things, but it definitely, in our prayer and our preparation, as we're talking about how to best communicate the truth of God's word to our people, we're talking about how to, let's use your terminology, to kind of wrap it around these ideas that help drive our church and move our mission forward.
Yeah.
And I think language is so powerful in creating and disseminating culture. So one of the things that we've discovered is by building a common language into the fabric of every family church conversation, it helps to drive these ideas deeper into the hearts of people, which is why if you're going to build a vision and a mission statement and values, they need to be biblical values. They need to be things that are actually gospel-centered, because as people begin to inculcate these things into who they are, into how they talk, into how they think, you want to make sure that you're not just pulling in some kind of secular ideas and attaching Bible verses to it. You want to find biblical ideas that are true and real and aspirational. And the other thing that I think, as Derek was saying about the preaching, that's so powerful, is you train yourself to think, hey, if I'm going to have this conversation, or we're going to have this meeting, or we're going to put this initiative forward, how does this fit under the rubric of what we're actually trying to do? And if it doesn't, or if it's a big stretch, maybe we need to rethink, is that really something that we want to invest the resources in to do? Because, and that's why I think a lot of churches have either a mission statement that's too generic, like we're here to reach all people everywhere with the gospel. All right, that's good. I think that's the Great Commission. We have that. That's really important. Or, hey, we want to be a blessing to everyone that we can. All right, I totally agree with that. But I think trying to find a little more specificity and creating language around your vision, mission, and values that actually reflects who you are already, what your aspirational values are, because it, like to me, this idea of building families, helping them discover and pursue God's design, that never gets old. Mm. It never gets old. It never becomes less of a need. It never becomes less urgent, because we feel it in our own lives and our own families. And so I just think having the right kind of statements, the right kind of language that you really believe in, and it really reflects your gospel values, your Bible values, that's so important, instead of just crafting a clever statement that doesn't actually help you communicate anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that also influences how you manage your resources. So what Pastor Jimmy was talking about, you know, if you do a mission-based budgeting, right? So if you're spending your time and your money, your financial resources on the mission and the vision, that's also helping reinforce and keep that in alignment. You know, you've heard it said that you can find out what's important to somebody by looking at two things, their checkbook mm-hmm. and their calendar, you know, where you spend your time and where you spend your financial resources. And that's helped us a lot too, because everything that we do in our budget, how we manage our facilities, how we calendar the use of the facilities, where we spend our money and put our financial resources, all reinforce that mission and that vision.
So we have like our weekly chapels. We have all these different meetings that we have that are regular staff meetings. We have our preaching meeting where we talk about this. But Derek, tell them about our vision and strategy, because this is something that churches of every size could do a version of this. And I think it's been very powerful in helping our team move forward.
Yeah. So we mentioned in the previous episode how every meeting operates on an agenda and has a pretty predictable rhythm and flow to it. And as you jump in and out of meetings at Family Church, they all kind of feel very, very similar. And very same. The content's different, but the structure of them is very much the same. But one of the things that happens when you have a team that is collaborative and that has ideas and that's innovative is you come up against obstacles sometimes that you want to spend more time kind of fleshing out an idea or playing the what if game a little bit, or you come up against a problem that just kind of constantly nags at your team. But to solve it requires maybe a 30 or 45 minute or longer conversation about how do we fix this, or how do we address it. And so what we've done over the years, and the meeting has looked different, is we set aside some dates on the calendar. Right now, I think we're doing it quarterly, where we say, hey, we have a day that's set aside to help us either fix processes and things that are maybe potential detours for us in a meeting that would not be the most efficient use of that time, or for us to think big picture and longer term about how the ministry that we're trying to accomplish, how it aligns to our vision and our mission and our core values, and how do we be more effective and more efficient.
Yeah, I think it's super helpful when you think about air war, ground war, when we think about our vision and strategy meeting, because that is the time when we all can get together in the same room and look across the table at each other. And you've got your philosophy and your strategy people there, the Matrix team with your people logistics and quality control people, the campus pastors, as well as all the people who are supporting them. And we all get together and we can have those conversations in the same room. So to your point, Jimmy, I mean, even if it's not staff, just getting those cross-functional areas together so that you can have conversations that you might not otherwise get to have. And I think another really important thing is our retreats that we have. So I don't know, Jimmy, if you want to list out again. We don't know if a lot of churches have the same stomach that we do for meals, meetings, and retreats, but we like to get together and we have a lot of fun. And I think retreats are amazing times that we get to spend concentrated time.
So we do a bunch of retreats every year with our team. We do team leaders retreat. So all of us on the team leaders group, we usually go away for several days and we meet with other leaders and Christian organizations and churches and try to learn from them. We have a all staff retreat in January, where we bring in all of our outward facing ministers and pastors and employees and bring them together. And it's kind of like a big 3-day rally worship service, informational, motivational seminar, but it is a lot of fun. It's intense, but that's a big part of it. We have another retreat in May where we usually try to solve a problem or address an issue that is facing our church. And that's an eclectic group of people that we pull together based on the topic that we want to address at that retreat. We have a preaching retreat every year where we plan our preaching and our teaching schedule 18 months out. We do that. And then we have a number of other retreats like our intern retreat, which is at the beginning of the summer. So all of our summer interns come in and they have a couple of days away where we train them in a Family Church culture, policy, and processes, and so forth, and a number of others. So these are all things that are in the regular rhythm. You might say, man, that just sounds, oh, we have a pastors and wives retreat. We take all of our campus pastors and their wives away at the end of the summer. And so you might be like, man, that sounds like a lot of money, a lot of time, a lot of effort. It is. We believe in it. It's part of how we communicate and build and cultivate culture and relationships that are required to do ministry together. And you might think, well, that sounds like you're spending like billions of dollars on retreats. And at my church, we're just a single site church. I'm just a single pastor. I deal with volunteers. I understand. I want you to know that I've been doing this same idea for 30 years when I had no budget and no employees. And so you can too, if you believe in it. And I've always believed that these things are relational accelerators. They are idea accelerators. They are cultural accelerators. And even when we came here, the beginning back in 2008, 2009, 2010, and even after, we didn't have any money. We didn't have any budget for this stuff. We borrowed somebody's cabin. We all slept on the floor on sleeping bags. We cooked our own food at the retreat. You don't have to have a big budget to do this. You just have to have a commitment to it, and you can find a way. And I would encourage everybody of churches of every size to consider it.
That's good. So we, I think, do a really good job keeping our vision and mission aligned. But of course, sometimes alternatives start to develop. So what do we do if we see alternatives starting to develop? Does anybody have any experience with that?
Well, we talk about meals and meetings. I mean, if we start to see that, we put on our big boy pants and we get the right people in the room to just have honest conversations, whether it's corrective or if there's something that we need to learn and figure out that we should consider about our mission and vision and how it carries out, we sit down and we're willing to have hard conversations. They're not always fun conversations, but they're important ones. The other thing is, and we talked about this on previous episodes of the podcast, is we kind of all signed up to do this together. And so we're able to go back to that specific principle that we are a family and we have all signed up to do this together. If we wanted to do this on our own, we'd all be pastoring our own single site churches somewhere. But we've actually decided that we want to be a part of a strategy to plant more churches together across this whole region for Jesus. And so we can appeal to that and sit down and have conversations and corrective conversations and help people decide, like, oh, is this the mission and vision that I have signed up for and I want to be a part of? Or maybe do I need to reconsider that this is the right team and right opportunity for me? And while those are painful, they're really important. And they're really important for the future of our church to make sure that we're all heading in the same direction.
Yeah, we've talked about on the podcast before the difference between being an extension of culture and mission and vision or being an alternative to. And sometimes that's what those conversations look like. Sometimes people have really good ideas.
That's right.
And rather than them just doing them or all, you know, developing their own language, we actually create a process for them to field test it, to do a little bit of research and development. And so sometimes those conversations end in, hey, let's actually try this, but let's try it for a season of time with a end goal in mind. And let's schedule a time to go back and evaluate it and figure out, does this somehow fit into what we're currently doing? Or do we need to think differently about what we're doing?
Yeah. One thing that comes to mind is Second Connection. I don't know if we're still doing Second Connection, but we have First Connection, which is very important to us at Family Church. And then we did have some people innovating with Second Connection because we're trying to figure out, okay, they come to this one meeting and what are we going to do after that?
That's part of our membership process.
That's part of our membership process. Yeah. But, you know, so they come to this one gathering where we tell them who we are. We learn who they are. We get to have bottom up conversations, but what do we do next? So we didn't really, we piloted Second Connection and didn't really take off. And so it hasn't really become a part of the fabric of who we are, but that's okay. So we let people check it out, check it out and see if they want to make a change. And, you know, maybe we're all going to make the change or maybe we're going to decide that that's not something we're going to do right now.
Yeah. And I think too, in a lot of churches, especially if a church begins to develop various ministries, every ministry wants to sort of has a tendency to organize itself almost like its own mini organization, which is in some ways is good, some ways not. So like one of the things we decided to push back against, we don't want like the student ministry having their own logo, mission statement, website. We don't want the children's ministry developing their logo and ministry statement. We don't want the deacons to have it. We don't want the women, because we have a vision, a mission, and values. We want them to all operate under those. And if we need to adjust those, add to those, tweak those, we will be willing to have that conversation, as Derek was saying. But we want it to be a conversation we have together, like you were saying, Todd, not someone just going rogue over here going, I got a better mission than the Family Church mission. It's the children's ministry mission. We're not going to do that. We're all going to come under one. And I think pastors should be really careful, because sometimes you have some of these like really enterprising, innovative, aggressive, and successful staff members who are going to want to create. And as Derek was saying, we just want to be careful. A lot of times that person around their personality or their gift set or just their dynamic ability to gather people can become an alternative to the vision of the church instead of an extension of the vision of church. And we just want to be really careful with that.
Yeah. So we all know that vision leaks. And so what can we do to make sure that vision doesn't leak? Anybody have a thought on that?
Well, I mean, I think, Jimmy, going back to one of the things that you mentioned is, you know, there's different seasons of the year where in meetings and ministry teams, you always are thinking about, hey, how are we going to do things different? Or, hey, do we have a new opportunity? And you mentioned just simply, hey, vetting every new thing that you're thinking about doing through your existing mission and vision.
Yeah.
And how does it functionally play out? And where does it conflict? Where does it come short? Where does it, maybe it complements it perfectly. But that's a very simple rhythm, but one that a lot of times we just – sometimes churches can skip over because
– there's a lot of good things you can do.
Yeah. Good idea. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, every day someone's giving me a really good idea. Like, we should start doing this ministry. We should partner with this ministry. We should start this kind of a deal. We should preach on this. We should do this with our kids ministry. We should do this with our facilities. I mean, it is endless, the number of really seriously good ideas that people share with us. But you just can't do all those good ideas. So when I was growing up, my pastor, Homer Lindsay, and First Baptist Church of Jacksonville, would often respond to people who would give him his ideas. And he would say, I am here to reach Jacksonville, Florida for Christ. He goes, the Bible says there is one thing I do, not many things I dabble at. I love that. This one thing I do, not this many things I dabble at. And I think that's a really good phrase that all of us could keep in mind.
I think another thing that we do pretty well, again, common language, but then just making sure that in every area of our church, we do talk about vision and mission. Like Scott, I think about, you know, our HR processes and how we've incorporated how we onboard people and the things that we talk about with them as they come on board. And then the retreats and the meetings that we have regularly, like every year we have the retreats. So we say, okay, do we talk about vision, mission, and core values again? Because, you know, it's always the tension between the people that have heard it, you know, 60 times and the person that's hearing it for the first time, but just keeping it in front of people, I think is super important. So I think we do that pretty well as we've developed our rhythms.
Yeah, I don't think you can say it too much.
Yeah,
I really don't. And I think that's why I think sticking with, we say this about our language, about our mission, our vision, our values, our evangelism tools. I actually think it takes about a decade to build something into the fabric of a common language of your church. Mm-hmm. And if you change every 18 months or 2 years, or you get a new pastor every 3 years and they change everything, nothing ever gets really built into the fabric. And I think you have to come up with ideas and language that's good enough and timeless enough to stick with it for at least a decade. That's our kind of arbitrary measure for how long we need to give something to see if it actually catches on.
It is. I mean, it's somewhat arbitrary, but somewhat like we've actually seen the power of it. Yeah. And so you start looking at how, you know, now we have certain volunteers, and I'm thinking about guys like Paul Allen, who's mm-hmm. our chairman of our deacons. Mm-hmm. Well, he just did this deacon training that he really put together and drove, and it looks like and feels like something that came straight from the people around this table.
Yeah.
But it really came from him, but he's been here long enough and he's been through some training that we provided, but he's grabbed a hold of it and he's helping really drive our deacons.
Yeah, he's a big time culture carrier. He is.
In the same kind of direction.
Yeah, to the question about how vision leaks, I think for the pastors listening, if you're not committed to meetings, that's probably the fastest way to let it leak. If you're not spending time with your team, if you're like, the meetings aren't good, or, you know, people don't really enjoy these meetings, I mean, and you're the guy in charge, I'd just make a better meeting. That'd be my suggestion, make the meetings more celebratory, make them more encouraging, do whatever you need to do, because if you're the senior leader of your organization or one of the top leaders and you want your vision and your mission to carry through the whole organization and into your community, you just got to be committed to those meetings.
I think that's a really important thing, Todd, is the reason that face-to-face contact is so vital. And like you were talking about, the reason that knowing people, knowing their names, knowing their families, knowing what's happening in their ministry is so vital, is when you sense alternatives emerging or language softening or the vision leaking, if you're in contact and as soon as you see it, you jump on it and you correct it. So like, for instance, one of the things we do, like at our church, we don't allow people to use the language main campus or mothership. They usually would do it referring to the original campus at Family Church, which is Family Church downtown in West Palm Beach. The reason they call it that is the original one. It also happens to be our largest facility that we have in our family of churches. And so people would call it the mothership or the main campus. We just, if anyone brings it up, we say, don't say that. We don't have a main campus. We don't have a mothership. We don't want anybody to work or attend at the not main campus. We think the main campus is where you work and where you attend. That is your congregation. That is your pastor. That is your church. And so we want people to feel that. And part of what it is when we sense that in a meeting, in a conversation, we come down hard. Hey, and that's just a little example of how we keep people on the same page when it comes to our language. And that does build culture.
Yeah. I think Pastor Jimmy's touched on this a little bit, but anybody else have any ideas if you're a pastor or ministry leader and they want to keep their vision and mission aligned better? They feel like maybe I have a vision, I have a mission, but we're not really keeping everybody moving in the same direction. What advice would you give to that person?
Yeah, I mean, I think part of what both Pastor Jimmy and Todd talked about is knowing your people, right? So when you're in a collaborative environment, you stand out like a sore thumb if you're the one person leaning away from the circle and everybody else is leaning in. And so I think having the time and the space to have those conversations. So one of the things that we've talked about in previous podcasts is having ongoing regular feedback sessions and those conversations where you're having, hey, what's going on with you? So because there's a big difference between a counterculture or anti-culture, somebody that is clearly trying to create on their own a different culture, versus someone who's struggling with the mission and vision that you already have. And there's a difference between somebody trying to create their own alternative and someone struggling with. So find out what's going on. Is it an obstacle that's in their way that's frustrating them? So it's really not the mission and vision. It's something that's a peripheral issue they're having. Address that or reset the expectation like we talked about before. And so having the time and space to do that. And then again, it's everything that you say and do has to reinforce it. You just, as Pastor said, you can't say it enough. So in meetings, in meals, on retreats, you should always be talking about it. And everything that you say, everything that you do, how you spend your money, how you spend your time ought to reinforce it.
Yeah, I mean, that whole idea between is it a knowledge gap or is it a heart gap? Knowledge gap, you close with information and time and one-on-one attention. Heart gap, people, at some point, you got to figure out a different seat on the bus or a different bus for them to be on. But I also think, too, like what you celebrate really matters. And so if you want to drive culture in an organization, if you want to prize mission or vision and core values, find a way to celebrate it. Find a way to honor people that are picking up what you're putting down and find a way to motivate people to start to kind of internalize it and start to articulate it.
Yeah, you know, it's awesome too. It's like, how do we do that? Well, if our vision is to get the gospel to every person, every family, and every neighborhood in South Florida, when that happens, you got to celebrate it.
Right.
So when you see the gospel getting to a person, a family, a neighborhood, and one of the best evidences for that, obviously, is baptism. When someone's baptized as a believer by immersion and joins the church family, you're like, wow, that's the vision actually happening. And so when a family is getting built up and is learning to discover and pursue God's design, you got to say, hey, this is exactly what our mission is. And look, it's happening. And that's why I think your mission and your vision are so important, to have the kind of language that's real and really reflects what is happening or can happen in your church. Because if it's not something that you can actually point to, how do you ever celebrate? How do you ever know if you're doing it? Mm-hmm. You know, how do you ever know if you're loving your neighbors or teaching the Bible or building families? And then when it happens, you got to go, this is what we're talking about right there.
Yeah, we had a great example yesterday, the story at Staff Chapel about a family. I think the son came to Christ, and then the dad came to Christ, and then the stepmom, and then the other son, and then the girlfriend, and then the girlfriend's mother.
It was like
10 people that had, you know, come to Christ and been baptized at Family Church North Stewart, just because we are taking the gospel to every person in every neighborhood in South Florida. I will just reiterate the common language point that Pastor Jimmy made, since I'm a communications person, so the importance of just saying it often, saying it frequently, saying it when you're tired of saying it. You keep saying it because that's just when people are starting to hear it. And I think we've really seen that bear fruit here at Family Church. Not just staff, high-level leaders, people at our church, they know what we're doing because we say it often, they hear it often, and there's no mistaking it.
That's right. Hey, once again, I just think it's so fun to talk about this. And I think it's fun to talk about this with all of you guys that are here in the podcast studio, because you know my great love for all of you, my great respect for all of you, and the joy that I take in getting to share life with you and to know your families and to serve Jesus in our family of churches together. And we do have an incredible team. In fact, a lot of times when people come and visit our staff meetings, or they come to our Church for the Rest of Us conference, or they're around us, they often comment on the alignment that they find in the different areas of ministry, in the different neighborhood churches, and the different meetings that they attend. And look, I know all of you listening, you have your own teams, you have your own situation, and I know God has incredible, incredible opportunities in front of you for the gospel. And that's why it's vital that all of us keep building ourselves up in the Lord, building our people up in the Lord, building our teams up in the Lord, so that we can get the gospel to the people where God has made us missionaries. Hey, I hope that you'll join us for our next episode. We're going to drill down into the neighborhood church model and to the importance of getting to know our neighbors. For now, I'm Jimmy Scroggins signing off with Leslie Bennett, Todd Thomas, Derek Simpson, Scott Crawford. This has been Church for the Rest of Us. Thank you so much for joining us on today's podcast. I'd love for you to check out familychurchnetwork.com to chime in on our blog or follow me on Twitter at Jimmy Scroggins. We want to connect with you and learn from you because we're in this together. We're all learning from each other. We are church for the rest of us.